This is the practice of faith, part two. Part two. We started this last week. We got into some things. I'm going to reiterate what I just prayed right now. Is that the point of this is that sometimes we struggle in certain areas of faith. Some of you may have a hard time speaking your faith out, or some of you may have a hard time, you know, believing in hope against hope, you know, which we covered last week. All right. I mean, these are things that when it comes to maybe doing, you would feel like you're a hypocrite. You would feel like this isn't real to me. But when you start recognizing the opportunity to just practice it, because the word says so, amen? It says this is what faith is. So if you start practicing it, you can actually school yourself into a higher level of faith. Amen? Yes. I knew of a minister, his name was Norval Hayes. And I don't think he was the only one that said this. I think Kenneth Hagin said this as well. And something like this. But he said, you know, just start confessing. He goes, and if you keep confessing the word, if you keep confessing, you know, your faith, if you keep doing that, he says, it'll actually rise up to that level. Amen. And so as we do this, understand this is a way for us to school ourselves into faith. It's a way for us to school ourselves into faith. Now, we talked about, last week we talked about, we practice hearing the word. You know, some of you, you know, we discussed this. I'm not going to get into it in depth. But if you still struggle with the word, if you still struggle with reading or you know, hearing the word, practice it. Amen? Pretend, just pretend. I'm going to pretend, Father God, that this is practice time. And I'm going to open up my Bible. I'm going to read some scriptures. And I'm just going to exercise the practice of reading scriptures. Did you know that practice carries two concepts to it? And I thought of this earlier. It actually carries two concepts of it. Practice can be a discipline. You know, like you have a doctor. Doctors, they have practices, right? Lawyers have practices. That's their discipline. That's their field of expertise. Amen? And if you developed, and what they did is they went to school to learn. And then for doctors, they had to do residency for years in order to practice medicine. They had somebody looking over their shoulder, questioning everything they were doing and thinking. Now, you got to understand that doctors, you know, they don't just finish their education and open up a practice. They go through residency. And from residency, they do specializations, whether it's internal medicine, surgery, or whatever it is. Heart, you know, they go through all of that to go into extra education and to fan out into something more specialized. But it's a residency, and somebody's watching over them. Somebody's helping them. Amen? So they start off practicing medicine with guidance. And then from that, once they get okayed to go further, then they become doctors. They take their boards, they're certified, everything is good. Then they start their practice of medicine. So what I want you to understand is a lot of times when we first start learning about faith, we're actually practicing some things. We're practicing the principles. Some of it may feel completely contrary to your natural thinking of doing it. Like, for example, how can I walk around believing that I'm healed when I still feel the same way, when I still see the same problems? That's where you got to practice doing that until it becomes natural to you. Amen? Amen? And living by faith is nothing more than having the practice of faith. That's how you live and operate, is by the practice of faith. You continue to do that. And just like any athlete, just like any person, kid in sports or whatever, they go to practice every day. I mean, when I was in high school, I played football. I played baseball. I went to practice. Whenever we had practices, I had to be there. Why? Because in practice, the coach could watch what you're doing and then give you instruction for how to do it better. Amen? And that's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. He will give you instruction. He'll help you do it better and better as you go along. I didn't start off really knowing faith like I do now. God had to show me. He had to teach me faith. He had to coach me in faith. And see, for a lot of Christians, if it's not instant, if it's not something they can just do right away, they just drop it and quit because, you know what, this is too hard. Well, so's playing an instrument, especially playing an instrument really well. But do you think that people that have learned how to play piano or people that have learned how to play guitar or whatever, do you think that once they've mastered the guitar that they stop practicing? You never stop practicing your skills. Faith is a skill. You learn the skill, you develop the skill, you practice the skill, and you never stop. Is this kind of making sense? The best thing out of this is that it becomes your practice. After a while, you've practiced it so much that you know you learn how to confront situations. You know, when trials come, you learn how to, you know what to do immediately. Amen. You kick skills into gear, and then as you do that, you begin to stop what's coming. And then you begin to turn it around and reverse it and drive it off. You know, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's kind of what you're learning to do with trials. That's why you have to have patience in trial, is because you're resisting the trial. You know, you said something that was really important, Eva, when you talked about tolerating. All of us have done this, myself included. You suffer with something, and you tend to just put up with it. And people will begin to, they will begin to confuse or exchange tolerance with patience. Patience doesn't work by itself. You know, let patience have its perfect work. How is it going to have its perfect work? By you continuing in faith in the situation. Having done all to stand, stand. Having, you know, having spoken the words of faith, made the commands. I'm going to get into all of this. That as you have done these things, amen, you push with your endurance. Endurance is an active thing. Amen? Think of macrothumia, which is, you know, long-suffering and forbearance and patience with people. You know, macrothumia, macro means long. Thumia means long suffering. It's long. That's the literal meaning of the word, long suffering. Love is, the first thing love is patient. Macrothumia. Love is long suffering. That's not you sitting back, you know, just letting people walk all over you. That's you exercising love, putting love to work by showing long suffering in a situation. Amen? See, it's active. These things are active. They're not passive. You know, when sometimes you got to stand up for yourself in love. You know, if somebody's railing on you and you're like, wait a second, you know, this is not true. You got to speak. Did Jesus speak up for himself? All the time, man. And he would put people in their place. He would say things. But not out of anger. Amen? Out of truth. In other words, sometimes the truth needs to be put forth. Especially if there's a deception involved in things. And you know it is. You got to stand up for the truth. You got to do it in love. Patiently. Amen? And so practicing faith, that's what as I teach this teaching, I want you guys to understand, this is not something that you're expected to master overnight. But Pastor, do I have to wait until I master it before I get results? No, God will move. Some of you are going to be shocked as you start exercising and practicing some of these things. You're going to start seeing changes. Because in reality, there's no difference between the practice and the purpose and the actual action of it. Done in faith. Because by doing it, you're showing faith. Amen. Do you understand that? Yes. By doing the practicing, you're showing faith. So you need to understand that. All right, we left off. We talked about some of the things. First of all, we talked about practice of faith, exercise our faith so it saves us, attains God's promises, and receives what we ask for. We practice hearing the word. We talked about that already. And then we talked about the practice of faith, the faith of Abraham. And this is out of Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but of those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So, you know, the Jews could be of the law, and they're still fulfilling their requirements, but if they get in faith, then the promises become theirs just as much. Amen? It's just different kinds of things. There's different types of people that God's working with here. The Jews and the Gentiles, which we all are. Now, it goes on to say, it says, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So I don't need to go through a lengthy explanation that you're all children of Abraham. Go read Galatians. Galatians explains that very clearly, that that's the case, all right? So we're of Abraham. We're also grafted into the natural olive tree, which is Israel. Amen? We're part of that. Now, so it's of the faith of Abraham. So God told me, he says, start off with this one. This is a real simple one. Not real simple, but he said, this is one that's real basic, that if they get a hold of this one, it's going to launch them forward in a major way. And that's what he showed me. Amen. And so we started this last week. You know, we can practice believing in hope. We already covered that. All right. I'm not going to get back into it. We talked about we can practice not considering our bodies or our circumstances. All right, we talked about that in depth. I'm not going to get back into it. If you weren't here last week, go listen to the teaching. It's up online. Today, we're going to pick up on the third part of Abraham's faith. Now, you got to understand, this is all us practicing the faith of Abraham. Abraham, who contrary to hope, in hope, believed. Abraham, who even though his body was dead and Sarah's body was dead, he did not consider the deadness of Sarah's body. He didn't consider it or his own deadness. Amen. And so he didn't consider these things. And so what we've got to learn to do is things that we're facing in life, stop letting them rule your thoughts. If you're in pain, stop letting the pain rule your thoughts. I know how hard that is. I have lived there was a period of time for 6 months that I was in severe pain all day long, all night long. And I even stopped taking ibuprofen because I knew it was bad for me. And I just suffered with the pain, but I used my faith. I refused to back off. You got to get to the point where it doesn't control your thoughts. It doesn't control your emotions. Because when stuff hurts, it hurts. I remember one time I was going up the stairs, and this was at Steve's old house, and his stairs are stone. I mean, they're like tile. And so I was going up the stairs with something, I don't remember what it was, and my foot caught, and I slipped, and I went forward, and I tried to save stuff, and I got my hand up against the riser at the bottom, and I bent forward on it on my arm, caught the edge of it, and I know I fractured my arm. I mean, I couldn't do any. I was in so much pain at that moment. I wanted to cry like a little girl. I rolled around real quick and sat down and grabbed my arm and I said, in the name of Jesus, I don't care what I feel right now, Lord, I am healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And I couldn't move my hand for a minute. It was painful. And I sat there and I said, no, in Jesus' name, I refuse, Father God, I refuse to let this get to me. I ain't got time for this. I don't have time for a cast. I got to work and I got to use both my hands to type. And I just sat there. And then all of a sudden, I felt like the numbness kind of started going away. And I was able to start moving my fingers again. And then the next thing you know, the pain just kind of dispersed and went away. That was just one time where it kind of happened immediately. But see, listen to me. You got to not let these things get control of you right away. You got to see, when you get practiced in faith, what comes out of your mouth isn't, you know, a lot of cuss words and everything else like some people do. You stub your toe and you're cussing to high heaven. Did I tell on somebody? No, I'm just kidding. You know, that's typically what we do. But when you practiced in faith, you don't do that stuff. You understand me? What comes out of your mouth is faith. What comes out of your mouth is command. What comes out of your mouth is controlled. Amen. And don't tell me it didn't hurt. It hurt. I wanted to cuss to high heaven. But that wasn't going to do me any good, right? No, all it does is kind of seal the deal. And then you're on your way to the doctor. Are you listening? Now, that's why you got to learn to get past all of that. That's going to be critical for you. Do not consider. Do not let it control you. The fact that it's happening is a fact. Nobody's arguing or disputing that. When Jesus, you know, when Jesus healed the lame man, it was a fact that he was lame. He wasn't saying that he wasn't lame. He came to him lame and Jesus healed him. The blind man, it was a fact that he was blind. Jesus didn't let the fact of that stop him. And you know what? You take somebody like, who was the guy that screamed out, "Jesus, you know, save me," and he was a blind man. Bartimaeus? What? Yeah, was it? I think so. Anyway, he yells out, "Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me." And finally, Jesus stops and said, "Bring him here." And they grab him and they take him to him. And he says, "What do you want?" And he goes, "That I receive my sight." I mean, it was plain and simple to him what he wanted. Jesus said, "Be it done according to your faith." And the guy was healed. His eyes opened and he could see. Now, you got to understand something. The fact was he was blind as a bat. That was the fact. But that wasn't going to stop him from believing and going beyond what his body was telling him. Well, that was Jesus walking the earth. Yeah, it was. But we've got Jesus in a greater form in the Word. Are you listening to me? I don't have to wait for Jesus to come down from heaven or come back up from the grave. I have the word of faith out of my mouth. Romans 10, in case you don't know. I have it coming out of my mouth. I have the ability to put the word. It is near me, in my heart, and in my mouth. I don't need Jesus to come down. I don't need to have him come back from the dead. I have him in my heart. I have him in my mouth. Are you listening to me? So we've got to consider, we've got to understand that even though these things are facts, there's no arguing with any of that. Faith, we use faith to change the fact to something else. Amen? That's what we're doing. All right. Now, picking up on part two, the next part of this is we can practice giving glory to God. Now, this sounds dumb, but God actually gave me a message this morning while I was sitting there. It had nothing to do with this, you know, with this teaching whatsoever. And he gave me this message, and I'm gonna do it as soon as God lets me do it, because I got a few of them right now that are queued up. But I'm telling you right now, you should not be taking lightly giving glory to God. Romans 4:20 says, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He did not waver. And this is where we have got to get as people, as children of Abraham. We've got to get to the point where we're not wavering against the promises of God. And the word waver there literally is the word, it's the word diakrino, which means to be at variance with. Variance means conflict, inconsistency, or change. You know, be at variance with oneself is what the statement is there. We shouldn't be in conflict with ourselves. We shouldn't be inconsistent within ourselves. We shouldn't change from one thing to another in ourselves. That's what it means. This is from Thayer. It also means to hesitate and to doubt. To hesitate. And I believe that one of the meanings of hesitate is to draw back. You know, whenever you pray and you start off in faith and then you draw back, That's diakrino. You've doubted. You've wavered. You've given in to the problem. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you have given in to the problem? Think about it. Whatever problem you're struggling with, how many of you have given in to it and just said, well, this is life for me? See, that's not the Abrahamic faith. You can't get anywhere if you just give in to the state of things when you know they're not right, when you know they're not of God. And to know that something's not of God, you need to have scriptures for it. You need to know the promises. You need to know what God says in His Word. You need to have that clear, that you know for a fact this is not of God. Now, if you want to give into it, that's between you and God. I'm not going to condemn you over it. That's just something that you know, this is the way it's going to be for me. And I've seen plenty of people do that. I've seen plenty of people do that with cancer, where they just gave into it and died. People talk about fighting. We do not have a clue. You guys need to understand something. God's not calling you to fight cancer. He's not calling you to fight diabetes. He's not calling you to fight any of this stuff. You're called to fight the good fight of faith. Do you understand that? Amen. The good fight of faith is, I believe what the Word tells me, and I'm not going to let it go. Amen. So I'm not fighting to get healed. No. I'm fighting to hold on to my faith. Exactly. And not let go of my faith concerning my healing. I'm receiving my healing. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. That's Mark 11:24. And in the actual Greek there, that can also be in the past tense. Believe that you received it, past tense. Believe that when you prayed and asked for it, you received it. Well, how come I'm not seeing anything happen? You're not in faith right now, so nothing's going to happen. Anytime you say, how come I don't see anything happening, you've already declared you're not in faith. You've already declared that you've considered the circumstance and it controls you. And it rules your faith. You've already declared it. You've declared that this is, I don't believe this. I don't see anything happening. You know, every time the devil comes along and says to me, you know, hey, nothing's happening. And if it's a healing or something like that, I'll just say, I'm healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan, I'm healed. Shut up. I'm healed. Amen. I don't go by what I see. I know the Word. Amen. If it's a need that needs to be met, nothing's happening. Guess you didn't receive. You're not the one that dictates whether I receive or not, devil. So shut up in Jesus' name. Get behind me. I have what I've asked for. I've called it to me. It's mine. It's mine. I don't worry about when, what, where, how. I don't care. It's mine. Amen? And I see it come. Now, he did not waver. He did not get in variance with himself, get all conflicted up inside of himself over whether or not he's healed or not, or, you know. Let me tell you something. I have nothing against doctors, but if that's your first choice of security, you're done for. You are not going to walk in God's healings at all. I'm just telling you straight out. If your dependency is on what the doctor tells you and what he can do for you, you're done. Understand that. Now, I'm not against doctors. I love doctors. Especially, man, when you have emergencies. They're really great. They're good at that stuff. But when it comes to, all they want to do is throw pills at you, man. I went to see I needed to get a new personal, what do you call it?
Oh, a primary care physician.
primary care physician. I went to meet with this one guy, and he started telling me stuff. He goes, "You got to do this. You got to do that. Oh yeah, you got to do this because this is bad. This is wrong." And I looked at him and I said, "I ain't coming back to you, negative Nancy." You know, God's carried me this far. He'll keep me. But understand that your primary source of care, your primary source of healing is the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not people around you. It's not the doctors. It's not your supplements. I take supplements all the time, too, but people are starting to pass out supplements like pills. I went to a naturopathic doctor, man. Oh, my God. I was paying $400 a month for supplements, and they didn't do a thing for me. Now, I still take supplements, but I'm led by God which ones I need.
Yes.
And those are the ones I take. And it's because our food is deficient now. Are you listening to me? It's very deficient. And so I do take some supplements, but I don't base my life on that. Amen. I use a supplement for my blood pressure. My blood pressure is totally normal. 120s over 80s. Normal. I don't have any problems with it. Found out that my body needed a certain mineral for certain things to work right in my blood circulatory system. I was starting to get high blood pressure. I know that the blood pressure medicines are really bad for you, so I started taking the mineral. Oh my God, man, I've not stopped taking them since. That's years ago. Sometimes I go a little bit without taking them just because you can get saturated, amen? And then if you need to pick it up, you pick it up. Listen to your body. God will help you.
Amen.
We need to run to the Word of God. Amen? First, before anything. I don't know why I got into that. Somebody needed it. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. And unbelief is the word apistia. And pistia is faith. Apistia is no faith. It means faithlessness. It means disbelief. Thayer adds weakness of faith. He did not waver at the promise of God through either faithlessness or weakness of faith. He didn't waver at it. At what? The promise of God. Say promise of God. God made him a promise. He didn't waver at it. It still took him 25 years, but he didn't waver at it. He got to the point where he stopped considering his body and his wife's body. Amen? And he stopped wavering at the promise of God. As long as you're wavering at the promise of God, it's not going to get fulfilled for you. Amen? James clearly says that, you know. Let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro. Let not that man think or suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. That's James chapter 1. If you're wavering back and forth on God's word, you're not going to get results. So you got to stop wavering. Pastor, how do I stop wavering? How do I get rid of the unbelief? I'm glad you asked that. Because the next phrase is the answer to that. He, Abraham, did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Every time your faith feels weak, you need to get it strengthened. Right? That's what he said. But was strengthened in faith. The word strengthened there is the word en dunamu, which means to empower. And dunamu is a combination of en and dunamis, which is power, or dunamai, which means to be powerful or powered. To be powered in. It's the word for power. It's the word for miracles. But he was strengthened, empowered in faith. There adds to be strong, to endue with strength, and to strengthen. The more you strengthen your faith, you empower your faith, you overcome that wavering. But was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. giving glory to God. Giving, didomai, to give, to cause, to give forth from oneself. In other words, it's got to come from you. You're the giver. You're the one giving glory to God. Sometimes in here during praise and worship, it sounds lame. This might be a perfect opportunity for you to sit and give glory to God. All right? Now let's talk about it. The word glory there is glory as very apparent. Thayer defines it in the New Testament, glory is always a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. A good opinion of God. If you're going around saying, God, where's my answer to prayer? Where is my healing? Where is this? Where is that? Why is this happening to me? What are you doing? Are you trying to teach me something? Go back to all the wrong thinking. It was funny. I got on TikTok for a minute yesterday, and I heard this guy who is a minister. He said, I used to teach this, and he goes, I had to repent. He goes, he was a pastor for a long time, pastor in a Baptist church. And he said, I used to teach this. And he says, and I was wrong, completely wrong. I haven't finished listening to the whole thing, but I'll give you the first part I got because it was a little long. And he said, he made the statement, I used to tell people God always answers prayer. He either says yes, or he says no, or he says not yet. He goes, I realized one day that I had set myself up in a self-confirming truth. God always answers prayer. Yes, no, or not yet. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. And he realized, I was wrong in teaching that. I was totally wrong. And I didn't get to hear the part, so when I do, I'll share with you more on it. It was good. It's a blessing to listen to ministers get it. But I can tell you, man, whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it, you'll have it. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will, it'll be done for you. Jesus said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll do it for you. He never qualifies any of those. Those came out of his mouth. Every one of these things that my mind went blank. Shared, I guess. Every one of those scriptures I shared with you, Jesus said, came out of, you never hear Jesus qualifying something. He only did it once that I can tell. And that's when he came down from the mountain of transfiguration and the man's son who was demon possessed, you know, the disciples couldn't heal the son. And so when he came down, you know, the guy goes, your disciples couldn't cast him out. So if you can do anything, and Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. He said, all things are possible to him who believes, if you can believe. And he said, bring him here. And when he did, the demon, you know, ripped on the kid, and the kid fell out and went into convulsions. And Jesus asked the man, he said, how long has he been like this? And he goes, since he was little. And then people started running, and Jesus took the kid and said, devil, come out of him. And Jesus, he didn't say in Jesus' name because he was still here. He said, devil, come out of him. Leave this child and leave him alone. And handed the child back to the father, totally healed. His disciples asked him, why couldn't we cast him out? Faith. Lack of faith. But then he makes this qualifying statement. He said, just so you know, this kind does not come out except through fasting and prayer. He was already ready. He'd been up there on the mountain 3 days with Peter, James, and John. They had all been fasting and they'd been praying. He was talking to God, talking to Moses, talking to Elijah. I mean, Peter and the guys, they were all just dumbfounded. They didn't know what to do with themselves. Probably slobbering. And seeing Moses and Elijah and Jesus. They wanted to build tents. They wanted to build tabernacles, tents, structures for them to dwell in and be there with Moses and Elijah, and the cloud came down, and God said, listen to my son. Hear him. Pretty intense, huh? And when the cloud came back up, Jesus was there by himself, said, let's go. Give glory to God. Give glory to God. You know what it means to give glory to God? It means to make God bigger than anything.
Yes.
It means to take God's word back to him and say, I believe this. I believe you're greater than my problems. I believe you're greater than anything in this world. I believe that you're greater than the devil. I believe that you're greater than my physical condition, my financial condition, my marriage condition, my kids' condition. I believe you're bigger than all of this. You are God, and I give you glory. And you just turn it back to him. I believe in you. I believe that you're God. You're more than capable. What do you think that does to your faith when you do that? Blows it up, doesn't it? Now, let me ask you a question. If you wait until your faith is just fainting along the way to try and do that, is it going to really work? You got to do it all the time, people. You got to do it all the time until you get to the point when the problem comes, it's nothing to you. Why? Because God is greater than your problems. Amen. We know that according to Romans 8, 35 through 37, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Loved. Past tense, it's already been shown. It's already been done. It's already been unleashed. We're more than conquerors. I know in the song that God wins all the battles, but in the truth of the matter is, God can't win your battle if you're not in it with him.
Exactly, Bill.
If you're not in it to win it with him, he ain't going to win your battle.
Exactly.
I'm telling you straight up. It's God working with you. We're more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Whatever's born of God overcomes the world. Amen. Conquers the world, subdues the world. People are sitting there going, God, why aren't you conquering this for me? God's like, why aren't you? I've already empowered you to win. My word has already declared that you're more than a conqueror. I've already given you my love. What else do you need? How lame can we get? Spend some time telling God, God, I believe that you love me. I remember, man, one of the first, I mean, I'm just giving this as an example. Don't feel like you got to have something like this happen. Doesn't necessarily need to be this way. I was sitting in a chair one day. I was like in my late 20s. Then a little room we had that I had kind of set up as my office, and I was sitting in this little chair. I remember that chair. I loved that little chair. It was a little rocker, but it was like a little comfortable chair. And I'd sit in that thing and just pray in the Spirit. And I was sitting there praying, and I told God, I said, you know what, God? I mean, the presence of God was just kind of there, you know, and I was just sitting there just relaxing, you know. It's got to start off sometimes, you know. Be still and know that I'm God. You just got to be still a little bit with God. And I was just being there praying in the Spirit quietly. I said, you know what, God, I love you. And he goes, no, I love you. And it kind of hit me. I go, but I love you. And he goes, no, I love you. And it hit me again. We went back and forth about 10 times. And by the end of that, I was bawling like a little girl. I mean, I was bawling like a little baby, man. I was just like crying my eyes out before him. And he's just letting me know, you know what? I love you. I'm not special at all. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. Ask Brian. Now, they respect who I am as a man of God, but I'm just a guy. Without God's help and without his covering over me to teach and minister and do the things that I do, I'm worthless. You're just going to get a bunch of Bill's opinions. But when you spend the time just with God, taking a moment here and there and just worshiping him, giving him glory, telling him how much you love him, believing that he's telling you that back, spend time. Tell God, you know what? You're bigger than my problems. I don't know why I let things get to me, Father. I'm sorry. Yep. You're greater than anything I'm facing. You're the God of this universe. Your word declares that I'm more than a conqueror. Because you loved me. I glorify you, Father. I worship you, Father. Thank you, Father. I give you glory. I spend time right now just letting you know I believe you. I believe what your word says. I believe what you are capable of doing. All things are truly possible to him who believes. And not just possible, but if you implement, it'll happen. We just get stuck on the possible part and don't do anything. And that's another reason why Jesus said, you know, all things are possible to him who believes. Because there's condition to it. God's waiting on us to put forth the faith, to believe, to enact it, to walk in it. And as we do that, he moves. He cannot deny his word. Amen? Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. All you have to do is look in the Word to see what God does. And as you stay looking in the Word, you'll see exactly how God moves. And what He'll do for you and what He does do for you. I love Psalms 91, 10 and 11. I mean, that passage, I pray it over you guys regularly. I pray it over myself. I live in expectation of it. No harm will come to you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he has given angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Man, Father, I thank you. I've got backup. I receive that. I got backup. Amen. I love stuff like that. I worship God with those verses. God, I believe that. I believe that no harm will come to me. I believe no harm will come to my family. I believe no harm will come to the church because you've given your angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Let's go on. Did you get anything out of that one?
Yes.
All right, number four. We can practice. Well, this is actually probably five because including practicing the word. We can practice being fully convinced that God performs what he promises.
Amen.
Now, giving glory to God is exalting God above your problems. Amen? But one of the other things you can do, and this is what Abraham did. It says, and he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Fully convinced. The word for fully convinced there is the word plerophoreo. And it literally means completely assured or convinced. There defines it as to be persuaded. Persuaded, fully convinced or assured. To be fully convinced, to be fully persuaded that what God promises, look at what it says, that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. The word also there is the word for, it's the word chi. Typically that word is translated as and. All right? In this case, and the word can actually be used in different kind of contexts, okay? Like it could be cumulative in the sense of and something else, or it can be copulative, which means also in the sense of something more. You know, it's interjecting more as it goes. And that he promised he was also able, and so that's one of the meanings. The word for chi, Thayer defines it as also, he defines it as and, but also, even, or indeed. So you could literally say here that what he had promised, he was indeed, even, also, able to perform. And again, the word able there is the word dunatos, which is a variation of the word dunamis. And dunatos means powerful or capable, and one of the ways it's actually translated is possible. He's powerful. He's capable. He makes it possible. That what he promised, he was also indeed powerful to perform. Capable to perform. And of course, the word perform there is the word poeo, which means to do or to make. He's powerful to do it, to make it. There adds to that, to carry out, to execute, to perform to a promise. And that's where he there gets that definition to perform to a promise is right there out of Romans 4:21, that God was able to do it because he promised it. We've got to get to the point where we are completely, listen to me, completely convinced, persuaded that what God promises, he's more than capable of doing. Amen? Now the question becomes, will he do it? And see, that's a wrong question. That's a false question. Why is it a false question, Pastor? Who can tell me why it's a false question? He's already what? No.
Because he's willing.
What? Because he promised it. Do you understand that? To say, you know, to ask that question, you know, it's a false question. Why? Because he's already promised it. If it's a promise, it's yours. Let me put it to you this way. If it's a promise, it's yours. We've been blessed. Amen. It just it says in Galatians 3:14, it says that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. The blessings of Abraham come all the way down through Israel and all the promises God made, including the ultimate beginning promises. And in case of Abraham, you know, he was wanting a son, but God made other promises to him. God made the promise that in multiplying, I will multiply you, and in blessing, I will bless you. That's the one I hold on to. That's the biggest promise to me of all of it. Multiplying and blessing. My body's blessed. That means it's healthy and it's whole. It's life. It's filled with life. It's strong. Amen? And yeah, I'm getting older. I'm proud of the fact that I'm getting older. But you know what? That doesn't mean we can't be strong. Think about Moses. Moses was almost 120. He had wandered in the wilderness with the children of Israel. They went up on Mount. He climbed Mount Sinai. The top of that mountain was smoking. It was on fire. He walked and walked. He climbed that mountain and never got sick, never got tired, never got wore out. As a matter of fact, being in the presence of God, he came down off that mountain and his face was shining so much that it scared everybody and he had to put a veil on his face. And that veil, once they left Mount Sinai and he was done with that, that glow passed away. But through Jesus, it doesn't pass away. Amen? What he had promised, he was able also to perform. God can do it. Able? Yeah. Will he? He promised it. He has no choice. Think about that. God said, "My word goes forth out of my mouth. It does not return to me void. It accomplishes what I send it out to do." If he makes a promise to us, that word has gone forth. And if you take it and bring it back to God, it's going to produce fruit. If you believe in it, it's going to produce fruit. That word went out to produce what it said. Are you listening? It's already empowered. God's empowered his word. Is he able? That's the key thing. God can do this. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to worry. God can save me. God can deliver me. He can set me free. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. You know what? I'm going to stop early today.